Oh, Trenbolone is already up there in the S plus tier.
That's the manic tier.
Yeah. So I don't have too much to say about this one. I would actually put this in F tier. Welcome back. We're going to do a tier list about our favorite anabolic steroids. Just kidding. We're going to do a tier list about what we think the best anabolic steroids are from a health to detriment perspective.
Yeah, and since I don't understand the concept of tier lists like these kids and the letters and what they mean, I'm going to rate them on a scale of 0 to 10.
Seriously?
Yeah, it'd be fun.
You've got to be kidding me. No. So these rankings of anabolic steroids are going to be not on a scale of 1 to 10, but on S is the best for super, and then A through F. Just like in school, if people can remember that. Does elementary school and what do they call it? I was homeschooled, so I don't understand. But do they do an A through F for school still?
I don't think they have an S tier.
They don't have S grades? Is that 5.0 or something? I don't understand how things work, again. But and I think even med school is mostly pass-fail, like the exams that we used to be like the most important score of your life. Now it's just pass-fail. But anyways, let's move on. Let's start with, what is that, Empower Testosterone Cypionate? Are we also trying to rank the bottle, or are we just saying, hey, any compounded testosterone cypionate? Because if we're ranking the bottle, there are some sketchy looking bottles up there.
All right. So testosterone cypionate, compounded as a medication. I give this, let's say 8 out of 10, but let's go with A tier.
Okay.
For the medication.
I would put this in S tier. So I actually disagree. I don't know why you would put it in A tier.
Tends to be runs a little hot, right? So the dosage like you get from compounded tends to be a little bit higher compared to commercial testosterone cypionate. Yeah.
So compounded testosterone cypionate is definitely an A tier. I like that the commercial variety is not overdosed. I like how you said it runs hot.
Yeah, it's a little spicy.
Yeah, again, it's more often than not, it's going to be higher than and lower. They put in a little extra chili powder or whatnot. But anyways, some benefits of compounded: thinner viscosity carrier oils, easier to drop, easier to inject. You can get a compounded MCT oil.
Cost is actually lower generally.
Yeah, that's true. So lots of upsides to this. A 10 milliliter vial at a, you know, physiologic dose of 150 milligrams a week. That's, you know, $12 per month. That's pretty darn good deal. I guess it's pretty similar for commercial, though. One thing that we did not put on this tier list is DHEA. I would put DHEA in D tier, D for DHEA.
Yeah, I'd probably have to give it a C tier, because as many people as I've seen with hair shedding or skin issues or irritability, like it seems to cause more roid side effects than actual steroids. Mm-hmm. There are also people who just anecdotally, you know, swear that they feel amazing while taking it.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
It has a very, the experience of taking it is really variable, I would say. It's mm-hmm. like a mystery multiplier.
Yeah. And generally, I don't use DHEA unless there's a very specific reason not to. For example, if someone is having a very low DHEA, 50 makes them a better candidate for low dose DHEA. Or if maybe they have a high LP little a and a super high SHBG, maybe DHEA is reasonable if there's not there's just better alternatives. That's why it's not great. If we didn't have any other androgen, we'd probably use DHEA all the time.
Yeah. And isn't DHEA still banned by like WADA and the Olympic Committee because it's potentially performance enhancing?
Yeah. And I think it's a controlled med in Canada, but it's over the counter here. It's very strange. Next is DECA, also known as nandrolone decanoate to the medical community. Where would you put this? It looks like our media guy already put it in A tier.
A tier.
If it's MPP, I say A tier.
I don't know about that. There's not very many pharmacies that use a phenylpropionate ester for nandrolone.
Yeah. And I don't think this is one that can be reliably sourced from a commercial source. Like, you know, you can't just get it at CVS, Walgreens. This one, I would put it in probably a C tier, just because it is a bit tedious if you wanted to use this as a TRT alternative and do it right. Mm-hmm. And there's more things to think about, interactions with hair loss medications, potentially the larger impact on hematocrit. Mm-hmm. So there are some downsides here, but there are some pros as well. And it's probably a little bit more anabolic milligram per milligram, a little bit less androgenic. But since you have dutasteride, you don't necessarily need to move to a totally different androgen. You can just attenuate the downsides of the androgen you're already using.
Yeah, much more simple. That being said, Tom Platz took it supposedly, and that's why he has all his hair. In fact, I think that's what he said. Just do DECA and then come off in the off season. So does that mean we need to put it in A tier? Maybe a different time. But in all seriousness, I would say I do see the higher quality compounding pharmacies. When I do occasionally use it, I often use Strive as a compounding pharmacy, and they have, I believe they compound nandrolone decanoate, but they do not compound nandrolone phenylpropionate. So I would not listen to media guy Cameron over here.
Disagree. Instead,
I would use as high of a quality pharmacy as possible. That would be nandrolone decanoate. Next is oxandrolone, which, again, looks like Cameron has already put this into the S tier.
Yeah. He said if he could, he would actually put it above testosterone cypionate.
Yeah. Is this for males or females? I guess we didn't specify that in the tier list. I was somewhat doing it for males.
We can comment on both, I think.
Yeah, it's surprisingly going to be quite similar. Some females can tolerate nandrolone, and also they're already on estrogen, so not that huge of a deal. Again, testosterone cypionate plus dutasteride for both males and females, almost always more benefits and less downsides and easier to do than nandrolone plus estradiol for males and females. So it's like it's a solution, but we already have a better solution to the problem.
Yeah, certainly the testosterone is easier. If you're talking about a low-dose injectable testosterone, say once a week or twice a week for women, you can measure that, get a free androgen index, move the DHT down if you need to. But there are some women who, you know, are less, just the way that oxandrolone interacts with the receptor, they're getting less androgenic symptoms from that. Yeah.
Now, very high SHBG women.
Yeah, you do have to be well. Careful. I certainly wouldn't use the two together.
Definitely not.
Because then you're going to have a disproportionately high free testosterone and free DHT, which is really going to increase the risk for masculinization.
Yep.
And then for males, well, I guess this applies to women too. Again, high SHBG, you can use that to knock down the sex hormone binding globulin to decrease the liver's production of that protein so that you're not giving someone an unreasonable amount of testosterone. Like, let's say their total has to be 2,000 to get them to a free testosterone of 15.
Yep.
It's, I think, in my mind, much more reasonable to lower the SHBG to, even if it's like 40 or 50, and maybe their total is 900, 1,000. I think that's a lot more reasonable than the 2,000 because in patients that I've seen come into the clinic, even though the free is normal on paper, even when the total is running that high, there still seems to be some of the downstream negatives from testosterone. So there's a little bit more to it than just free testosterone when you get to like an extreme circumstance like that.
Yeah. So I would say let's put oxandrolone down into B tier. Sorry, Cameron. Both for males and women, it's not often that the upside outweighs the downside. It's certainly not something that I would add into every protocol because it's like what makes TRT, TRT plus, or what makes HRT, HRT plus.
What about as a heart medication?
I don't think it's, it's not great.
Even for lowering lipoprotein little a?
I wouldn't necessarily consider that a heart medication, but it's just a benefit that it happens to have. It happens to lower LP little a, sometimes relatively precipitously, especially if you have very high SHBG. But that would be a side benefit. There's a lot of small benefits to it, but the downside of it is, again, that it often crushes SHBG very low, and then it makes your free androgen index quite high.
Yeah, and when I think about that scenario, you know, if someone happens to have the high LPA and the high SHBG, and we don't see it affect their HDL that much. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always going to have a little bit of a hit on the HDL unless there's a big lifestyle change with more exercise at the same time. Then I think it could be reasonable because we know a lot of bad things are associated with lipoprotein A. We don't necessarily bank on the HDL being as protective as we used to think it is. But the honest answer is we don't know if that trade-off is a positive, neutral, or negative right now.
Yeah. So, it, you know, it's kind of cringe to say, but a lot of people like to balance hormones. And oxandrolone, one of the main benefits is it does help you balance your total and free estrogens and androgens. And it also helps you, you know, decrease overall total androgen load compared to, like, let's say if you're just on testosterone cypionate before, this could be as a male or a female, and you keep increasing the dose to get a higher free testosterone, you're increasing the dose to get a higher free testosterone, you might be better off and you might actually be able to use less androgen. Not everybody's going to like to hear that, but you might be able to use less steady state androgen if you add that in.
Yeah, I see Cameron shaking his head.
Yeah. That being said, you know, and last thing on this, because I don't want to spend the whole time talking about it, is yes, these kind of like shorter half-life androgens, you can take them pre-workout and you can have better workouts, which is one of the benefits of any type of androgen for males and females. So yes, if you happen to need it, that is a way that you can take it.
I'm hearing a lot of benefits for oxandrolone. Sure, we want to put it in B.
B for benefits.
B for benefits. Next is primobolan. I don't know what that is. Is that methinolone enanthate? Is that the medical name for it? This is known as primo, and this is TRT plus. So basically, if you're not on this, your clinic is just holding you back. Sarcasm.
Yeah, I don't know a lot about this in the sense that I haven't monitored patients taking it over long periods of time or prescribed it to anyone. With the primobolan, I do worry about low estradiol because it seems to function like an aromatase inhibitor. I worry about people if, I guess there are a few select pharmacies that maybe have this. You know, I've heard whispers of that.
The only one that I know that makes it makes an oral capsule version, which of course is not ideal. In fact, in my opinion, the safest oral capsule, if this list was pure oral capsules, there was no troches, there was no nasal sprays, et cetera, oxandrolone would actually be my prime choice. If I had to take an androgen that goes from my liver, first pass metabolism, et cetera, yeah, that's the one that I would choose. But yeah, I don't know of any sterile injectable, say like enanthate version of the primobolan androgen.
Yeah. And from what I hear in, you know, the bodybuilding community, the sourcing of this and Masteron has been mixed up for a long time.
Yep.
But now, like, people are having a hard time getting either one of those things. Mm-hmm. So it's something I would probably put in a D tier.
D, yeah, D tier. If we had high-quality compounding pharmacies or a commercial product that's specifically used in patients that have very high estradiol, and, of course, you would decrease their testosterone to keep their total androgen load under control, I think it likely does have a good safety profile, but – yeah, just because of the current sphere or whatnot, I know there's some countries that have this available as a pharmaceutical medication. Wasn't it a Bayer medicine?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, like the ampules or whatnot. So if that is still the case in some countries, then maybe it's a much higher tier. But yeah, unfortunately here, we're going to have to put in D. Next is halotestin, which I believe is the same thing as mint.
Trenbolone, actually.
Oh, Trenbolone is already up there in the S plus tier.
That's the manic tier.
Yeah. So I don't have too much to say about this one. I would actually put this in F tier.
Disagree.
Yeah. I would put it in F tier from a health standpoint. I guess, you know, cosmetically, the bodybuilders would say there's nothing like Trenbolone sandwiches.
Yeah.
But it's probably one of the harshest. I do recall a patient that I saw a long time ago had ran out of their testosterone, and they were basically taking tren replacement therapy. Wow. And the labs were not good.
Was this sounds like the start of a More Plates, More Dates story.
It was a More Plates, More Dates clinic.
Oh.
Or not a clinic, a service that connects doctors and patients.
That's right. At Merrick. Interesting. But, you know, like I said, if patients come in, even though we put Trenbolone in F tier, We are zero judgmental to anybody who takes trenbolone.
Yeah, and it's great to have the honesty because that leads me down a much easier diagnostic route.
Definitely. And, you know, we've also had patients that are pro bodybuilders or pro strongmen and not just pro in that they have their pro card and they sell coaching. They're actually really good, if that makes sense, not to throw shade on anybody else. But if you, you know, we understand that some people, like literally the world's strongest man and the open Olympia bodybuilder winner, they probably do have to take tren in order to like win and make that paycheck for their family. So just like if somebody has to, I can't think of an example of someone who has to smoke cigarettes in order to do so, but
not anymore.
Cigarette smoking champion, maybe.
If you were the Marlboro man back in the day.
Yeah. And to take care of his family, he would have to keep smoking cigarettes. Then you tell your doctor that. Or if you're like a champion beer drinker, like, hey, doctor, I have to drink beer. Please make my health as good as possible for making me a champion tequila chugger beer drinker. And we will do so, whether it is an androgen or whether it is alcohol.
Yeah, I think of it like harm reduction. You know, there's tools in place for people who are addicted to opiates to help get them off of those things or to mitigate the negatives, or if they take too much to reverse that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, with any substance people are putting in their body, some people, you know, they want to change. Some people, they don't want to change. They want to try to minimize the damage. And that's not something that's necessarily addressed very commonly outside of practices like ours.
Yeah. It's a good summary. Well, next. So we've had a lot of different kind of categories of androgens. Halotestin, I think this is a testosterone derivative. I don't think it's a 19-NOR, and I don't think it's a – is it a DHT derivative or a testosterone derivative?
I want to say it's a DHT derivative. I don't know for sure, but I would put it in C tier above D tier just because it does have some studies showing positive effects on sperm motility.
Interesting. So intratesticular testosterone. Is this the same thing as MINT?
No.
MINT? That's a trestolone?
I believe so.
Trestolone is MINT. Yeah, halotestin. What I know halotestin for is anger and rage.
So it's the opposite of MINT. MINT is your infertility androgen. This is your potentially fertility androgen. Again, these studies are like 50 years old.
Some people take trestolone or MINT for
birth control.
Birth control, yes. Yeah. Actually, successfully, this is not medical advice, but that's what I've heard through, you know, forums and Discord and whatnot.
Yeah, and it was studied specifically for that.
It has been. Anyways, I would put halotestin in D tier. Because safety profile and long-term benefits is not significant. So C, I kind of see as like halfway benefit, halfway detriment. So I still think that for most people, halotestin's not as good of an option as even nandrolone.
Not even just for 3 months while you're trying for a baby?
No.
The time period you want to be very aggressive and,
you know,
emotional and full of rage?
If you told me I had to take nothing and be hypogonadal through fertility or just halotestin, I would probably take halotestin. And I bet I would tolerate it quite well. I don't think I would have anger or rage.
Stay tuned for our next episode.
I have to try it, basically. Next, is that equipoise, EQ? Yeah. So equipoise, I always think of equine horses. And now I guess everybody's on EQ because there's no more Masterone or Primobolan. I would probably put this in D tier.
I guess it's
kind of along the same
less Primobolan. Less bad than trenbolone, but probably more bad than Primobolan. So I give it like a D minus.
Yeah. Some people, I think David de Mesquita thinks that Primo and EQ are like roughly equitable when it comes to upside versus downside.
I think the EQ just has a stronger effect on red blood cell count.
Yeah.
So thinking of blood viscosity, whereas the Primobolan, maybe not.
Yeah. That's true. But yeah, if I had to take something and assuming that, like, let's say there is both commercial product, let's say Pfizer, actually not Pfizer because some people won't like it. Let's say that.
What's a drug company with a really good. Yeah, Novartis has a decent reputation.
Yeah. They made pharmaceutical, like, brand name methinolone and anthate and also equipoise. And you know, I had to take one, I would choose the Primobolan, not the EQ.
Yeah.
Yep. So we can put them both in D and go to the next one, which is D-ball, which I think we'll also probably end up putting in the D tier. I'm not sure what the medical use would be. I think historically this was used as like a D ball kickstarter, which I've never done, but.
Wouldn't the medical use just be a good pump?
Why wouldn't you just take Tadalafil or like Gorillamine Nitric and get some crazy pumps?
Yeah. I guess certain people want a little more, they have a more of an appetite for risk. They want a little bit more danger in their lives.
Yeah.
So we put it in the D category for danger. But seeing DHEA stacked next to all these kind of makes me think I should put DHEA in the C tier.
DHEA to C, or yeah, move the DHEA up to C.
Because people will comment, wow, you literally think DHEA is as bad as D-ball?
Yeah, I think DHEA is great, and I think it's good that it's over-the-counter. Do you think any of these other androgens should be over-the-counter?
I'm generally pro, like, people being able to make medical decisions, but this is something that people could abuse. You know, it's not going to potentially instantly kill them like something like a narcotic would.
Alcohol.
Or... But, yeah, I would be in favor of testosterone being over-the-counter.
Up to certain doses? Dude, 25 mgs per mil.
Well, you're not going to be able to really, like, enforce that. I mean, if you make it a low concentration, I guess, like, people are just going to inject more oil to get a larger dose. But even if you put a restriction on the quantity you can buy, like, the market will find a way to get it into the hands of people that want it.
That's true. Yeah, maybe a 21-plus thing. Or maybe an 18-plus thing. Alcohol and testosterone and DHEA.
Or you just have to get it with your enclomiphen prescription to maintain your fertility, which will not work on injectable testosterone.
It's funny.
Like some clinics claim.
Yeah. So I think that's a reasonable approach. And another benefit of it being over the counter is when people seek out doctor or healthcare advice, they're literally doing so just for the advice.
You compound it with HCG. Mm-hmm. But then it has to be refrigerated.
Anyways, next is Winstrol, which is stenozolol, which I believe has only been studied in Raynaud's and a few other things. But isn't this the one that can very quickly cause liver angiomas?
This is the one you use to test your androgen sensitivity.
And that's the old way.
So you could get a 3-pill blister pack.
Yeah.
It's very good if you want to lose hair, from what I read and understand. Mm-hmm. It's a DHT derivative.
This is what Ben Johnson took, I believe.
Sprinters will take this.
Sprinters will take it.
Yeah. There were people in small town, like high school track, using what was believed to be Winstrol to run faster at their track meets.
Interesting. You think I could get back to 49-second, 400-meter if I needed to do like an androgen sensitivity test? Because I definitely don't know my CAG repeat number.
Yeah, just to make sure there's confluence between the results there.
Yeah, exactly. It's for science. Has there ever been a case study comparing CAG repeat numbers to stenozolol SHBG?
Yeah, I feel like I'm going to put this in the F tier.
Let's put it in F. And let's put RAD 140 in F as well.
Is that?
That's a song.
Does that say the Umbrella Corporation there?
Select. Yeah, it's from, what is that movie?
Black Mirror?
No.
It's the Resident Evil.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, I could not think of that.
That's what they injected in the bunnies to make them those monsters in Resident Evil. But RAD 140, you know, if I'm going to choose this arm, it's going to be Ostrine, which is MK2866, which is an Obos arm, or Ligandrol, which is LGD4033, which I put in D tier. There is human studies on this, and there is probably going to be some clinical use at some point. Yeah. I would give 0 out of 10 for the Hell Ups, whatever that brand is. Is that Hell Labs? Hell Labs, yeah. I will never take anything from Hell Labs. Now, Heaven Labs, I might take something from.
I would bump Enobosarm up to C, but not at the doses you're going to see in the over-the-counter stuff. You know, I would say, you know, that 3 milligram per day dose that is used in the clinical studies in older adults, sarcopenia, looks promising. You know, it's not going to be a miracle for anyone, but I think it has enough promise for promoting physical function that I'd give it a C.
Yeah. Not LG, not Ligandrol though. So we can put Ligandrol back in D. Osterine, which we don't have on the list, but they can imagine Osterine, which is Enobosarm, in C. Finasteride and Dutasteride are next. So we're going to put both of those in F, right?
Now, is this a bundle? You're taking them both together?
Separately,
I would give Finasteride a C.
I'd give it a D. For the average person, I would give Finasteride an F for a lot of people. Dutasteride, I would give, let's do an A. Yeah, Dutasteride an A at the right dose. This is me dosing it. It's our tier list. So once a week Dutasteride, even for the average person, I would give an A. And once daily Finasteride for your average low T individual, I'd probably give a D. And a lot of people that take Dutasteride either have high natural testosterone or are on HRT.
Yeah. So if, let's say, the male population went on once per week Dutasteride at age 25, what percentage of male pattern baldness do you think that would prevent?
Trick question. It depends on their age.
I said they start at age 25.
At age 25, it would prevent... I don't think it would actually prevent a huge amount, but people would become bald 20 years after they normally would, or 15. So if you're going to become... like, let's say if you weren't on it, you were going to become bald at 40. Instead, you were going to become relatively bald at 55.
Yeah, so you think that even if this is, say, lowering DHT by 70%, that's not enough to slow the progression, like, to where it's not cosmetically noticeable by people's 50s, 60s, 70s?
It is for a couple decades. But the problem with a once-a-week dose is it has a dose-dependent half-life. So after 3 or 4 days, more than half the Dutasteride is likely gone. So although if you check your DHT 2 days after your first dose, it's going to be significantly suppressed. But if you check it 6 days after, kind of get a trough of some sort, I would say you would be surprised at how high your DHT is 6 days after a single dose of Dutasteride.
Yeah, I'd be a little bit more bullish on that. You know, I think there's some people that are going to have aggressive hair loss it's not going to address. But you start young, right? 25, that's when people get the highest potential for regrowth, let's say.
It's true.
Close to half of those people are getting some regrowth. And, you know, 80 or 90% of people don't lose hair over, you know, at least that first year, probably the first decade. You know, I'd say you'd probably prevent... yeah, probably about half of balding. Like, for some people, I think that would be enough to maintain their hair throughout their entire adult life until things like their 60s, IGF-1, 70s. Growth hormone, estradiol levels all kind of drop down.
Yeah, and blood flow to the scalp is worse.
Yeah.
I would also add to my opinion the caveat, if you dose 2 times a week or 3 times a week, the efficacy is significantly better. There was a study, I believe, out of Japan or Korea at the dose of 0.2 milligrams per day. And that dose looked quite good. And obviously that would equal 1.4 milligrams per week.
Yeah, I think even 0.1 milligram per day was a little bit above like what Finasteride's efficacy was. Mm-hmm. So, you know, milligram per milligram, probably at least 10 times better or more potent.
Yep.
And if we put Dutasteride and Finasteride together as a bundle, for myself personally, I would put that in the S tier. But where would you put this for the general population?
For the general population, again, the reason why I dose Dutasteride once a week is for the general population. There's going to be a lot of people that don't have quite optimal T levels, and also they're going to forget they're on Dutasteride and then want to go into a fertility phase, and having a little bit of that extra DHT and intratesticular testosterone, they're going to be glad they're on once a week instead of 3 times a week, because 3 times a week is going to be around. It just requires more planning. And the same thing with Finasteride. If they forget to take their Dutasteride, they might start feeling strange on just Finasteride. So you are playing with fire a bit more. So I would keep it in A tier. But most people that are on both Dutasteride and Finasteride, again, because you have that more even isoenzyme inhibition of all three, it is much, and maybe it's a little bit clickbait, but that's another reason to leave in A tier, is we will see the Finasteride in A tier. But yeah, one reason that I might be tempted to move it down, and a lot of my patients end up liking just dutasteride without finasteride, is a lot of people just don't have want to worry about the mental stress of being on finasteride. Like literally just the thought, I am taking finasteride, which so many of my friends have said had side effects, or so many of my internet friends, if that's a thing, have said that they have side effects. That is a real downside.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely can go read more scary things about finasteride online than you can about dutasteride. Mm-hmm. And that logic would probably hold up for most of these compounds, right? You can go read more scary things about trenbolone than you can about testosterone online as well. Yeah.
So Cameron, please leave finasteride in the D tier or even like F to D tier, but for the thumbnail, leave it in A tier. That'll be good. I guess that covers it for all of our androgens today. We did, I guess one that we did not discuss, let's add this as a bonus, is DHT, like injectable DHT enanthate or DHT topical cream, which is available in many countries, actually, just not the United States. I would say there is some clinical use for this, in my opinion, actually probably mostly in pediatrics. And that's one thing that I do practice. I do see kids that come in and see me locally, and I see them for both specialty medicine and primary care. And I think that there's the Andractum topical DHT. I think that there is, I think this is very underutilized for disorders of sexual and pubertal development. But a lot of people kind of want to use it off-label, and there's, of course, a lot of downsides to just taking DHT. I often do, kind of jokingly, but also seriously, call it a trash hormone. I'd say I'm 50% sarcastic when I call it a trash hormone. So we can leave it in a C tier.
Yeah, I could see it in the C tier, and the use case, since I don't see pediatrics, would be, you know, maybe someone uses it once in a while as a topical for a libido boost. But obviously having to be very careful with transference for this, because that's going to be a lot bigger deal than transference from even a testosterone cream.
Yep.
Which we also didn't have on here.
Was it a pun when you said a bigger deal? Because what Vigorous Steve uses it for?
I'm not aware.
People can look up his video. He uses it topically for a bigger flaccid state.
Interesting.
Yep, that's what Vigorous Steve uses it for. Tadalafil will do the same thing, for those wondering, for way less downside, if you care. I think most, I don't know, maybe some people do. I'm not sure what like single people or Zoomers do these days. And with that, I think that's probably a...
I'm glad that I'm not part of that crowd.
Yeah, you know. Me too. Anyways, yeah, if people do have androgens that they want to add, or if they like this format, please let us know in the comments. And as always, thank you for your time, and may God bless you with health and happiness.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.